Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text our sermon this morning is taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, find on page 4 in your service folder. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
My wife and I have been blessed with five children, and occasionally we even take them out into public. When you do that, you're together, and oftentimes when I'm by myself with the kids, I can't count the number of times people have said to me, you must have your hands full, or you do have your hands full. And I think to myself, not really, because that's what I know. We all have our hands full with something in life. Right, our situation, whether it's obvious to other people or it's something inside, we all have something that makes us act, got my hands full. But you get used to it. It's your normal. You learn to deal with all the difficulties, whatever they might be. Another thing people say to me when they know I have young children is this. I sure wouldn't want to be raising children in today's world. I'm glad mine are older. Glad I'm done with that, because having little kids in this world, it's pretty bad. You can hear that sometimes from God's people, and we know better. We know we have the Word of God, but the feeling is that this world is so bad. Rather than get out there and do the work that God has given us to do, sometimes it seems more logical to kind of hold up, kind of, you know, gather everybody in and stay tight. We know Jesus is coming back, and we've just got to hang on a little bit longer until he gets here. God's Word gives us a great gift when we consider our life in this sinful world. And that gift we find this morning from the Apostle Paul, it's perspective. The Apostle Paul wrote these words from prison in the city of Rome, and he knew he was going to die. The end of the book of 2 Timothy, he talked about being rescued from the lions, but he knew next time probably wouldn't go that way. God was going to take him home to heaven. And so Paul is writing to his young pastor friend Timothy, who's going to kind of carry on the torch, carry on the ministry. And Paul doesn't tell Timothy, you better hold on, buddy. You better just kind of stay close to Jesus until he gets back. Pray it's not too long. No, Paul says, Timothy, you're ready. You're ready to go out into this world. You're ready for ministry. And as we hear these words today and apply them to our own life, God's Word assures us that we as God's people are ready for anything this world brings our way. We're ready because we know what we're up against. And Paul reminded Timothy of those things. He told Timothy, he said, you know about my ministry and you know about the persecutions I faced in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Paul had told Timothy all those things because they were partners in ministry. In fact, Timothy had even been there when Paul faced some persecutions. Timothy joined Paul on his second missionary trip, and so Timothy was there when Paul and Silas were put in prison in Philippi. They saw him hauled away in shackles. Timothy was there in Thessalonica when a riot started because Paul was preaching the gospel and they had to run away from the city. Timothy knew all about that. Timothy knew what he was up against, and Paul reminded him. He said, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Everyone wants to live a godly life. That's us. As God's people, we want to live a godly life, and Paul said, we'll be persecuted. And it's not getting better. Going from bad to worse. Evil men and imposters. God's people see that persecution in this world in violent ways. God's people see this persecution in verbal ways. Maybe that's what we experience most in our country. Accusations of being unloving and intolerant. It's persecution. And it's one thing when it comes from outside of the church, because we expect that. But it's quite another when it comes from inside. Satan's always been very good at causing disruption among Christians. That's where he does some of his best work in opposing the gospel. He raises up imposters, as Paul describes them, evil men who distort the word of God and turn away from it and appeal to people who have itching ears, and Paul will talk about that in just a moment. But you've seen it. You know what happens. People who claim Jesus as their Savior don't follow his word. That's what we're up against. Ezekiel, the Old Testament lesson for this morning, was up against that. God told him, said, you're going to go to the people of Israel, and they're stubborn, they're rebellious, they're obstinate. They're a bunch of scorpions. But that's your ministry. Jesus experienced that in Nazareth, his hometown. The very people in the synagogue who had the word of God and were supposed to be teaching the word of God rejected the Son of God. That's what we're up against. God has told us that in the people of this world, even including us, lives a sinful nature that is opposed to anything that has to do with God. But we're ready to face it because God's given us his word. In these series of verses, Paul draws some strong contrasts between the false teachers and Timothy. And we find that in our text beginning in verse 14. He says, but as for you, you Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Timothy, when you face those things in the world, don't be swayed, don't be intimidated, don't back down. Continue in what you have learned. Timothy learned the word of God. And he learned it in his home. And he knew the people that taught it to him, his mother and his grandmother. From infancy, he had been made wise for salvation. They talked to him about the Savior, about Jesus. So remember what you got. As you go out now, Timothy, man of God, proclaiming the gospel, remember, it's not your word, it's not Paul's word, it's God's inspired word. All Scripture is God-breathed, and Timothy, it's useful for everything you have to do as a pastor. Not all pastors, but all of this word of God does apply to us. We know the Scriptures. Whether it happened when you're an infant or later in life, you've been made wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God gave you that gift of faith. And as you live your life in this world facing all sorts of things, you know you have his holy word. It's God-breathed, it's God-inspired, and it's true. And it's useful for everything in your life. For correcting you when you go astray, for rebuking people who oppose the word of God, for comforting and for training in righteousness. You people of God are ready for everything and anything the world brings your way.
sort of, most of the time. Because it doesn't always seem like that powerful, inspired Word of God works so well.
We don't always see results. We don't always see direct impact in our life when we live according to that Word. So we get frustrated. We try to figure things out a different way. We try to use man-made plans and our own ideas to accomplish goals that we have. We turn away from the Word of God. But God doesn't treat us as people who just abandon Him all the time. God doesn't cast us away when we set His Word aside. No, God treats us as His children, and so He comes to us with a rebuke in that Word of God. He comes to correct us, to turn us away from those sins, to call us back to Himself. God in His grace reminds us that we've been made wise for salvation, and just in case we forget what that means, He keeps telling us. He keeps assuring us through His Word that Jesus is really our Savior, that He did really die for us, and He's really alive. And through His Word and through His sacraments, we have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life in heaven. Through faith in Christ, we're ready to face our death, Jesus' return. We're ready for anything. And so we go and do the work God has set before us. Chapter 4, verse 1, Paul reminds Timothy that what he's talking about 2,000 years ago and what he's talking about today is of great importance. And as Pastor Holt said, it demands our attention. In verse 1 of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said this, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing in His kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word." In the presence of God, as we gather around God's Word, in God's house, He's here with us. And Paul said, this is important. Because Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And so what we do and how we live has eternal consequences. So we preach the Word. Paul says you do it in season and out of season. When it seems logical and normal, and even when you're not prepared to do it. We preach the Word in season, on Sunday morning, in Bible classes, in hospital rooms, and use God's people. Think about logical times, invite people to church as they move to the area, or at Christmas and Easter, when they're suffering. Those are the in-season times. It's also out of season. I had an out-of-season experience this week. Well, I always have them. At my why. At the end of my work, and I was doing what I always try to do, keep my blood pressure low, or just relax. And I saw a man there, I've seen him before, and he asked me, he said, "I know you from somewhere." And I said, "Yeah, I've seen you here before." He said, "No, I've seen you in town somewhere." And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And then he asked me where, and told him my location. He said, "No, not that church, it was a different church I was at, I thought you were there." I said, "No, that wasn't me." "Where do you go to church?" You know, I got to ask him that, right? And my blood pressure's not too high. "Where do you go to church?" He said, "I don't." And so, "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, 24 years ago, someone very close to me was killed in a car accident. And I was mad at God. And now I don't want to think about God." That out of season time was suddenly right in season. And the pastor doesn't know any more about why God allows something like that to happen than you do. But all of us as God's people, having been made wise through salvation, are ready to preach the Word. Ready to say, "I know this, God still loves you. He gave His Son to be your Savior." I pray you believe in Him and are comforted by that. Those are the neat stories. Those are the wonderful opportunities that God provides. It's not always that way. Paul said 2,000 years ago, a time will come when people won't listen to sound doctrine. They will shut up their ears, or they will open their ears to what they want to hear. He describes them as itching. They want to be scratched with something that makes them feel good, but isn't from God's Word. You've seen that. people who listen to only what they want to listen to from God's word. Don't talk to me about my sin. I just want to hear about the good stuff. And preachers cater to that. They talk all about love, but never about sin, and therefore they don't understand the love of God. And the people can't appreciate the love of God. We give into those temptations. Our ears, they itch a little bit, and we like things that make us feel good. But God's word gives us what we truly need. Call to repentance, and call to faith in Christ Jesus. And a commitment to that ministry, to go out and preach the word, to do the work that God has entrusted to us. And that's where Paul ends with Timothy. It says, but you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Those words are great for pastors. Every day of the ministry, as they begin their ministry, but those words are great for all of us. Keep your head. Don't be overcome by what's going on around this world. Deal with it on the basis of God's word and trust Him. Trust that word. Do the work that He set before you. Wherever He's called you in life, and do it faithfully. When I started my ministry, I had a mission counselor, an older pastor, who would correspond with me with email, and every time he ended a correspondence, he said, keep on keeping on in Jesus and in joy. I remember that. It's true what Paul said to Timothy, to each of us. Keep on. But you, keep on in Jesus, your Savior, and in the joy of being part of His ministry, preaching the word no matter what you face. This past Wednesday, we finished another Bible information class, our Wednesday night group did. And then in the class, one of the folks in the class said, I'm going to miss this. For 13 weeks, we gathered together around God's Word. It started with a group of people that nobody knew each other. But after 13 weeks, they knew each other. It was more than just having a new friend or a new acquaintance. We spent time around God's Word. We heard about our Savior. We grew in faith. We grew in relationship with one another. She says, I'm going to miss this. So you don't have to. We have other Bible classes, and you can even go through this one again. It's a good reminder for me that that's what we expect to happen when we gather around God's Word. It's really what God promises. So we don't give up meeting together, but encourage one another all the more. It's really what Paul and Timothy are doing here, being encouraged in their faith in Jesus. Paul says, keep on that. We do it. We keep after. It's why you expect your pastors to encourage you to attend church weekly. Because here we're fed with that word of God. It's why you expect invitations to Bible class. And it's why you understand that there are temptations that keep you from that. And you've got to fight them. Because as somebody told me this morning, the devil's after you, especially on Sunday mornings. We know that. We know what we're up against. In this world, in our own sinful flesh, but we know what God has given us in the Word, the gospel of our salvation. And so we keep on. Keep on hearing the Word and taking it to heart and carrying it to the world in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will return and who has made us ready for that glorious day when He will gather us to His eternal home in heaven. And God, keep us faithful and strengthen us as we await that day. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.